Let me tell you something. I have been pushed out a lot of even Christian circles and positions of political power because I won't just go along with a narrative like we can't speak the truth about this candidate. And I think too much of the American church has lost its voice to people it's trying to reach because it embraced Trump in a way it shouldn't have embraced him. Tolerance is good where people are concerned. Where truth is concerned, tolerance is a tragedy. Yeah, yeah. People say this to me all the time, Todd, if you just love people like Jesus did. I go, what? Finish that statement. If I just love people like Jesus did, what? They'd nail me to a cross at 33. That's what.
I listened to Tommy Nelson on the way back from a wedding. I just had hernia surgery, TMI. But I remember it so vividly because I was wrestling with this.
Your first of many.
My first of three, unfortunately. I tried to look it up. I think he titled his sermon like, a third party vote's a bullet in the air or something like that.
I think it's called Continental Divide.
That's right. It's a better name than what I said.
Tommy thought so.
Yeah. So he basically did say that though. Like if you're voting third party, it's like shooting a bullet in the air.
Yeah.
And that for me personally convicted me of where I was. And I say that to, I stood at the voting poll as a 19-year-old for 20 minutes and tried to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
But
not between Hillary and Trump, but between Trump
and third party. Yeah. So, but it is worth saying, I mean, just give us, help me process. Is there any compatibility with a Christian voting for the current Democratic platform and the
me? Okay, well, it just goes back to what I'm just gonna tell you what I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there are, and I've said this, you know, a lot, that there are single issue disqualifiers. Okay.
Like a lot of people will say you can't be a single issue voter.
I don't think it's right. I think you can.
If the person is just pro-life, they earn your vote.
Yeah, right. So I don't think there's a single issue that qualifies you. So, but there are single issues that disqualify you. So you married a wonderful, sweet young woman named Logan Garcia, right? And let's just say Logan loved you. Logan sought Jesus with all of her heart. I'm going to put this in quotes for a reason, okay? Logan wanted to be fruitful and multiply. Logan.
Which she has.
Right. She's done a good job. Way to go, Logan. Keep it up. You know, but she also has an affinity for mailmen and likes to
for walk, what?
Mailmen. And when they come and deliver the mail, she invites them in for a cup of tea and a little tea party. But all those other things I just said about Logan are great. I would just say, Logan, the fact that you continue to, and forgive me for this terrible illustration, you know, have inappropriate relationships with male persons, okay, that's a single issue disqualifier.
For sure.
Okay? And so what I'm saying is, that's maybe a crazy offensive example to some people, but to me—
but it's practical.
It's practical because as wonderful as Logan is, if she would embrace something like crazy, I'm like, I can't bring you in as my wife.
Right.
So I don't care what you say about how abortions are reduced during some Democratic administration.
Right.
It's nonsense. What they're saying is we want to protect abortions. Okay? Don't tell me they're reduced. You tell me a guy is great on every issue, but he thinks rape is okay. I ain't voting for that guy.
Right.
Okay. Now, likewise.
Or racist. If he's like, I'm a racist.
I'm a racist.
Disqualified.
Disqualified. Okay.
Even if he's got, if he's the most pro-life candidate in the history of America.
Yes. Right. Because if you're racist, you're not pro-life.
Right.
You're pro-white life or pro-black life or pro-brown life.
Right.
That's not pro-life, man. Okay. And so there are single issue disqualifiers, but there are not a single issue that can qualify you as a leader.
Right.
Okay. And that's where, you know, some people, and it's why, like I said before, like when you looked at Trump, I understood the argument of certain people who felt like, you know, and kind of the famous pithy quote is, you know, until Jesus runs for president, we're always going to have a lesser of two options, a lesser of two evils. And that's true.
Right.
Okay. So I don't think you need to have a perfect candidate because you could never vote.
Or a lesser of 10 evils or a lesser of three evils, however many candidates there are.
Right. So I understood why certain people were going to be able to go, hey, I'm voting for this guy over this guy. That makes complete sense to me. I also understood why certain people didn't feel like either candidate was acceptable.
Right.
Okay. And it's not a wasted vote. Why? Because how blessed is the man whose heart does not condemn him in what he does. Verse I sent to you, we're looking at each other.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Romans 14:22.
Yep.
And I'm grateful, right? That, because I'll tell you this, if all the Christians, as an example, not all the Christians, I see all the people who even didn't have just moral outrage at whatever Hillary stood for, had had more outrage at what Trump stood for, just said, I'm more prone to vote for Trump, but I have more outrage at some of the things there. I can't vote for him because he's mean to people, then we would have had a much more progressive, I think, dangerous president.
we'd be, yeah, yeah.
We'd be that much further down the road.
Right.
Okay.
From where we've been the last 3 years.
Yeah. I got to say this since we're talking about this.
Right.
And what's so great about this is we're just inviting people into our conversation. Totally. So I hope this conversation is helpful to you. It won't be as helpful to you as if you read your stupid Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And ask, you know what we'd love to do? We'd love you to email us, podcast@1613project.com. Send us your questions because that's what we want to talk about. We want to sit down in here and go, what would you like to, but better read your Bible and see what Jesus says about these things. Because if we give you an answer anything other than he would, it's a wasted answer.
Or follow you on Instagram because every now and then I'll throw that on there.
Okay,
what questions would you want?
Words from Wags.
Yeah, Words from Wags on Instagram. Every now and then I'll put up a story of like, hey, who should we interview? What do you want him to talk about?
Good. So here's what I would tell people is that I think Trump was a judgment on America, American church specifically, right? People in the American church who think Trump was an answer to the American church's prayer. Let me just say this. I think the Trump administration did some things that I am eternally thankful for in our country. Okay. I wasn't very often thankful for President Trump in the way he did things, but I just wasn't. I think he was divisive unnecessarily. I appreciate people that would say that, hey, you need to be a guy like Trump to stand up against the swamp and against the depth of the depravity and the darkness.
You do need
a
strong leader.
And I can respect
leader.
That. Yes.
You need a strong leader.
But strength and pettiness and narcissism and childish behavior are not, they're not necessarily, they have to be wed.
And you're not necessarily calling Trump a narcissist. But you're saying in moments, everybody has moments of narcissism.
Not analyzed him in my office. Let me just say this. Yeah, if I see impetuous or abusive speech and all those things, we're all capable of it.
Totally.
Okay. And so, you know, but what you should do when you do that, you know, hey, you know what? When I made fun of that one journalist who had that physical, you know, just be humble about it. Just, you know what? That was a moment of weakness. And in my flesh, I was a fool.
Yeah.
All right. You get to make mistakes when you're a leader. Okay, but when you don't ever make a mistake, and when you don't ever say, "Hey, man, you know, not only did I offend you with what I said, but I offend you with how I said it, and I don't want to do that." Okay, listen, I will say this: President Trump is very generous and very kind to so many people. I'm not here to defend Trump or criticize how the man treats a lot of individuals.
Right.
I mean, I'm not here to talk about Trump. What I'm just saying is I do think he was a judgment on the American church. And I think too much of the American church has lost its voice to people it's trying to reach because it embraced Trump in a way it shouldn't have embraced him. I'm not saying he's a candidate to vote for.
Right.
I'm saying they acted like they couldn't be critical of him at all.
Right.
And when God says to people like me, you know, when people say things to me like, "Well, Todd, he's just not electable. He's just too Christ-like."
Not electable,
right?
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, I think God just says, "Oh, really? Let me show you who's electable. I'll take a man who acts like a child sometimes, who does vile and despicable things, who's not faithful to his wife, who clearly sleeps with and pays off porn stars to suppress that truth and unrighteousness." Okay, a guy that says crazy things like, "I could go out and in front of my hotel and shoot somebody, and they'd still elect me president," okay? And I'll have him elected, okay? So God can put into positions of power whoever he wants. And he uses non-believers sometimes. And it's not to say, I know men that are convinced that Trump knows Christ. And again, I don't want to talk about Mr. Right. Trump, okay? I think if I was here with Trump, I think I'd have a great conversation with him, right? And, you know, I've been asked to be people who give counsel to him. Like, well, does he want counsel? I don't need to be on his counsel just to say it, right?
Yeah.
But I just said, but you know, and I certainly don't want to be on the council if he's not going to take counsel. But I mean, I'll sit with anybody as a president and give him counsel. My point is, this is not so much about Trump as it's about people who think they've got to compromise to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. Now, that doesn't mean you don't sometimes incrementally change laws. I'm not saying that you shouldn't vote for there's a big debate during the slave trade, right, or during the American slave period about whether we should be incrementalist in moving to the abolishment of the slave trade or we should be just be absolute.
Same debates going on today, very popular, abolitionist towards abortion
exactly.
Or incrementalist.
That's my point, is that I think you can, while you can't get that, I think it's okay to do this, but you got to be very clear. Look, I think abortion at any stage is wrong. Mm-hmm. The infanticide is always wrong. Okay? And so, but if I can bring it down to 12 weeks, I'll bring it down to 12 weeks. But my goal is to bring it to zero.
Right.
And my goal isn't to bring it to zero legislatively. My goal is to do a work by God's grace, by teaching his truth and helping people understand the kindness of God in human hearts so that if even it was legal,
right,
nobody would do it. Well, that's my goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I say you can't compromise with evil, I'm not talking about legislative strategies there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm talking about in our heart, a little leaven will leaven the whole dough. And so as believers, we shouldn't settle for certain candidates because they're not electable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if they're not electable, then that's judgment on the people.
Right.
Okay? And I'm thankful for anybody, Democrat or Republican, who makes righteous legislation. In fact, in the Remnant News, okay, I actually quoted somebody that I found 2 weeks after we said on the Remnant News, and I wrote about it, this person who I said you can trust to do evil in 2016, Hillary.
Oh, yeah, last week.
Right? I said, look what Hillary did. That was excellent on her understanding of how to handle Hamas right now. In this current war. I don't even know. Is there a name for the war?
Do you want to watch it?
Israel? Oh, we can watch it if we want to, but you can go back and read it. Go to the Remnant News on whatever date that was. What's the date?
It's the most recent one. It was on October 17th.
Was it Friday? 17th. Yeah, the 17th. And so,
so you guys can put this on the screen and we can scroll through it. But right here, we're talking about Israel dropping leaflets and just the ethical, you know, things they were doing to as they had
yeah,
this
so
war.
Go to November 17th Remnant News, and I write about the horror of war, the need for war, the correct way to go about warring.
These are all past editions that you can click to.
And then, you know, and that's what I did say. I don't mind saying this. Look at Numbers 22 through 35. So let me just read that. Here's a clear statement on the need for Israel to act forcefully and with finality from a surprising source. If you don't have Hillary Clinton on The View as a highlighted video in today's Remnant News on your bingo card, we wouldn't blame you. But all truth is God's truth, and sometimes truth from a surprising source makes the truth even more pronounced. So Bible quiz, everybody watching, all right? Coop, you know this because we talked about it. Numbers 22 through 35. So there's a little clue right here in the riddle. Oh, now Coop.
Did you look at it?
Yeah, I did.
Man, come on.
He was looking forward, so I thought I could do it.
It's the
speaking donkey.
It's the speaking ass, right? And he said truth because God gave the donkey right to go, hey, dude, all right? And so that was my, you know. And
which is funny. It was creative.
It was funny. All right. So you go back to what Hillary said about that war.
Right.
Okay.
Which, not just Hillary, but on the View.
They were nodding in agreement. Yeah. Some of the women on The View. So we don't need to watch it right here, right. Do we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Go to the November 17th Remnant News and watch it. But my point is when somebody says truth or when a Democrat makes good legislation, let's celebrate it.
Right.
Go, way to go. All right. So I am happy to be a co-belligerent with my Roman Catholic friends, with my Mormon friends, with my atheistic friends, with my lesbian friends, homosexual friends, divorced friends, other sinners like me. Okay? Now, you know, I want to be careful. Like, there's no area of my life that is outside of God's will that I'm comfortable with. I don't identify by some sin class.
Right.
And so you shouldn't either.
Right.
Okay. But you can say, hey, I happen to sin in this area and I hate it. That I'm with you all day long. Let's make war together.
Right.
But my point is I can be co-belligerents to people that are embracing ideologies that I just deeply disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, some extreme, you know, charismatic health, wealth, and prosperity Christians, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'll partner with you on certain things, but I'm going to make really clear where we don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I want them to, so we can be co-belligerents together for good on different issues. And we should work together. And if we got to work incrementally towards legislation, that's fine. But I'm not going to work incrementally towards morality. I'm going to be very clear where I stand on issues. And then I'm also going to be clear where I can't stand with you on issues.
Todd, you brought up Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House. And, you know, I just think since we're talking about politics, we don't have to waste all our time on Trump, but he recently has gone to the scourge of the mainstream media for calling the church and state issue a misnomer. And I know we talked about that recently. It was one of those moments for me where I was like, I wish I would have recorded that. You mind just kind of teasing out what that is on church and state and how that is kind of a fallacy?
So one of the things that people may know about Mike is a lawyer and he worked with ADF. I know Mike Johnson. I like Mike Johnson and I'm a fan of what Mike Johnson stands for, right? So anybody who spent any time around the issue of church and state, it was a letter from Jefferson to the Dansbury Baptist when he was president. You know, Connecticut, they're in Connecticut, Dansbury, Connecticut. It's a congregationalist state by and large is what Connecticut was. And there were some Baptists that were concerned that they weren't going to be able to participate in the state government because the potential was there for the Congregationalists to say, basically, if you don't adopt these ideologies, you know, you can't govern. And so, well, there we go, right? And so there's the letter. It was written in 18, is that right? You know, letter written January 1st, 1802. That's when Jefferson was president. He was our third president. And so he wrote a letter to the Danbury Baptists, and he was basically saying, hey, listen, we're not going to allow the state to interfere in how you worship. So when it says there should be a separation between church and state, it was to keep the government out of the affairs of the church. It was not that church and morality should not speak into the way that government operates. And then Mike, I think in that quote, quotes a very famous quote by both Washington and by John Adams, our first and our second president, that basically said of all the dispositions, all right, given to men and how they conduct themselves, all right, morality and religion are at the very center of what's important about that. And then Adams is the one, it was Washington, and Adams is the one who said that basically that our Constitution is wholly unable to govern a people who are not moral or religious.
Yeah, you said that yesterday, and I was going to try to get you to get there today.
Okay. And so it isn't. It's not set up to do that. Okay. And so our Constitution will fail if we don't govern ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's basically what was going on. But when Jefferson wrote that, okay, he wasn't changing what's in our Constitution. So the very first amendment to our Constitution was the Bill of Rights, which says a government should make no law respecting religion or the free exercise thereof. It's what's called the Free Exercise Clause. All right. And so that is that the government should not make laws respecting religions or the free practice thereof. But the separation of church and state was just a letter from a president saying, we're not going to let government interfere into the affairs of the church. Mm-hmm. But the church better interfere in the affairs of the government, because it was the church that got rid of the horrors of the African slave trade. Mm-hmm. Okay. Had we kept the church out of government, we'd probably still have slavery. Mm-hmm. Because it was men that sacrificed their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not just to free us from the oppression of King George, but from the oppression of the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there's a reframing for you, 1619 Project people. Okay. Yeah. You need to understand what the horror is, not white men. Mm-hmm. The horror is man, whatever the color is, that does not embrace the truth of God. Yep. That's the horror.
So that was a great question, because August 7th, if you want to, you can go to mail.theremnantnews.org. And on August 7th, we wrote about the Louisiana passed a bill where the schools had to put In God We Trust back in it. Mm-hmm. So that's where you wrote 9 points on the idea of separation of church and state. And obviously it's not your full thoughts, but it's condensed and bullet pointed.
Okay, what
it's
day really is that?
August 7th.
So on August 7th of 2000, and just because you listen to this in the future,
23,
I wrote down why a government should operate with the separation of church and state as an ideology.
Right, which in point four, the reason I brought that up is all of these, we linked to all this stuff. Oh, both our first and second presidents affirmed that there was never any intention to keep religious people from affecting government.
Yeah, just click government on that first quote, because I paraphrase Washington.
This is Washington.
Here it is. Of all the dispositions, I use that word, and habits, which lead to political prosperity, because I'm not right now traveling a lot. I think Mike perfectly quoted this quote. I paraphrased it. But of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports, right? That's what he quoted. And then actually go back and you get Adams' quote, which I think I did pretty much get almost right. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Morality and virtue, he continued, are the foundations of our republic and necessary for a society to be free.
And where do morality and virtue come from?
And actually, we wrote on that in the Remnant News recently. Bottom line, you can just read the Remnant News. You don't need to jump on this podcast. Right? That's really what the Remnant News is, 3 days a
week. Which is why we are going to call it the Remnant Podcast as of now. So,
rebranding, reframing, going all kinds of ways.
Well, if you went to YouTube, that's how you'd find it on YouTube right now. So, the Remnant with Todd Wagner.
Is it? Yeah. All right. Well, there we go.
So,
let's pray that Todd Wagner is a part of the Remnant, because if he is, you spending time with me here will be useful to you as you continue to grow as a part of the Remnant. That's the goal of this, man. Yep. You don't need to hang out with me, all right? You need to hang out with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if I'm hanging out with Jesus, then hanging out with me will help you, okay? That's the best definition of discipleship, which is really what I want to do. I want to be a disciple maker, okay? That's what we are. We're disciple makers. We're going and making disciples and teaching them to observe everything that he commanded. But this is Walt Hendrickson. In the book, The Making of a Disciple. Disciples are made, not born. That's the book. Walt has a quote. I think it's in there. Hendrickson that I would give him credit for, which is that basically that discipleship is having in your heart what's on the heart of God while you spend time with people you love. Simple little book, or just know this, be a disciple and be a disciple maker. And we hope when you hang out with us here on the Remnant Podcast, right, with me and others, is that you get to hang out with people talking about truths from God's word and basically how to understand the times and teach God's commandments and precepts in Israel, right? To have knowledge of what Israel or United States should do. Mm-hmm. That's our job.
Yep.
Todd, I can't help myself because when we were talking about Trump, we've already spent some time on that, so I'm not revisiting that. But okay. When we were talking about it, we were talking about in the context of, you know, retrospectively, let's say, and you were saying, hey, you know, this impacted the church in a lot of ways negatively, and I think you're absolutely right, and it's because they put their hope in Trump. Well, in 2024, it looks like we're going to have a replay. And so what would you say to the American church now, as I think the most recent polling, this is per CNN, has Trump leading in 5 out of the 6 battleground states. Mm-hmm. Biden is the first incumbent to trail at this stage in the election. The media would have you believe that Obama was trailing at this stage in the election. It's just patently untrue. and so it's kind of looking like, you know, oh, hey, you know, you start, maybe the church starts to put their hope in Trump again. So we get an opportunity to revisit that issue, correct potentially a mistake that was made. So what do you say to the American church right now? 2024 comes around. Trump is the leading horse, and we're about to replay this thing again.
Well, here's what I would tell you. You need to pray for all kings and those that are authority, right? With entreaties, prayers, and petitions with thanksgiving, right? We need to make sure prayers are made on behalf of all men. Why? So we might live quiet and tranquil lives, okay? Because when there is a law in a land that will say you're not able to speak biblical truth, you're not able to do biblical things, you cannot be quiet, and it will not be tranquil with you. You will suffer, right? And Christians, I would say, prepare to suffer. Mm-hmm. Okay, until more hearts are conformed into the will of God, there's going to be an increasing drift in our government away from supporting religious freedom. Okay, and I'm going to tell religious people, people who live in relationship with God, you are not free to be disobedient to Him. If you fear man more than God, then the church will be compromised. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what I would just say is we need to raise up our church to suffer. And we need to raise up our church to be faithful so that more hearts are won so we won't have to suffer, okay? And so pray for the lost, love the lost, engage the lost, have discourse with them, point out error in your preferred candidate whenever you could, but make sure that you don't serve the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and there's no question the platforms of those two are immensely different. And there are things in the Democratic platform that are absolutely unsupportable by people who profess a biblical view of Christianity. Mm. It is filled with single issue disqualifiers. Okay? Now you got to decide if that's true of these candidates over there. And you got to understand at the end of the day, you might have to choose a lesser of two evils. Because if nobody votes for this one, you're going to get that one. Or if nobody votes for that one, you're going to get this one. And what we should do is compete for the hearts of men. We should pray that men have wisdom. There are going to be some people who believe that it would be unrighteous to vote for the Republican candidate, and that's going to be that non-vote is going to help this people. And there are going to be people who go, hey, it's not my preferred ultimate candidate, but it's the best candidate I have, and before God, I have a freedom to vote for them. And whoever is your president, you pray for them, you speak truth to them, and you suffer for God underneath them. Mm. So there's my counsel.
Can we do a separate, I'm just noting this here, I think it'd be a really helpful separate podcast to just even talk about that idea, because I think on the idea of putting your hope in a political party or platform,
yeah,
it kind of all boils down to like power dynamics and Christians or people thinking we have to be in power to be impactful, when in reality, the church has almost thrived more without power.
It's never going to be easier in America, okay, to speak the truth in love than it is today. Mm-hmm. It's going to get more and more expensive unless there's a major turning, unless mm-hmm. the remnant rises up and the grace of God through the remnant floods into the hearts of more people. It will get easier again.
Which is possible, and people have to believe
it's
that.
It's why we're here.
Yeah.
It's why we want you to listen to this.
Unlikely given what our master said.
Well, let me say this. Eventually, Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I am going to advocate for good. I am not going to surrender ground. I'm never going to be a doomsday person. I'm never going to, I will tell you, I look at the expectation of history, the trajectory of history is it's not going to get better. Yeah. It's going to get worse.
Yeah.
But what he says, it's your job to do everything you can to make it better. Mm-hmm. And the way you do that is by loving people, but it's by being on the alert, standing firm in the faith, acting courageously. Okay. And being strong in the face of challenge, attack, and criticism, and let everything you do be done in love. And just like Paul said, hey, you want to kill me because I'm saying this? Kill me. Mm-hmm. All right? I mean, but for me to live is Christ. So I'm going to speak the truth to you, right? And to die is to gain. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's better for you that I remain. Better for me that I go. So, but while I'm here, Christian, okay, while you're here, do the work of an evangelist. Speak the truth in love. Awake from your stupor. Don't be like that person who said, well, I just want them to leave me alone. They will not leave you alone for long. Eventually, they will come to your door. Okay? And that's why God wants you outside your door, in the streets, loving people, engaging them in meaningful relationships, and proposing a better way.
Mm-hmm.
When Christians will do that, okay, and we'll start to call crazy, crazy.
Yep.
And we won't just say that, you know, look, old tolerance used to be, and I think tolerance is good, you know, where people are concerned. Where truth is concerned, tolerance is a tragedy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's the ultimate, the distortion of truth is where the fall started.
Yeah, so old tolerance used to be every idea gets an equal hearing. New tolerance is every idea is equally true. And we cannot tolerate new tolerance.
That's an attack on the pillar.
But
of
is
truth.
There a third tolerance? Because now tolerance, it's basically like accept my new truth, which like well, I feel like.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like you do you. You like.
Well, but that's not even true because now it's. I'm saying now tolerance from the left is. It's not. It's non-tolerant.
Well, they are intolerant.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm saying is that they're now saying is you can't. You can't say what you think.
Yeah, it's not even you do you. It's you do us or.
Yeah, there's a progression that always works that way. Hey, we just let us alone. What do you care what I do in my bedroom, right? To, hey, you need to say what's in my bedroom is okay. To, hey, if you don't support what I'm doing in my bedroom, you're dangerous.
Which
okay, that's what always happens. Yep. And I mean, I hate to make it all about sex and that.
But that's sexual revolution.
It is certainly, you know, the elevation of that.
I mean, and where we're headed, what it seems like is even to... Is not just in the LGBTQIA alphabet, you know. It seems like it's leading to circling back to kids in schools to minor attracted persons and normalizing pedophilia. Like it just doesn't end.
Well, it won't. And this is this whole slippery slope argument. Oh, right. Come on, it's not going to happen. Are you out of your mind? It's and what happening. I'm just saying is the littlest takes us all the way back to the beginning of this podcast. Which, if you're still with us. Let me know, and we'll send you a remnant sticker or something, because good for you.
Remnant of endurance.
I hope
people will. There's a stat that people stick with. If they start a podcast, 75% of people finish it.
Well, way to be a part of the 75% then. But I think, you know, go back to the very beginning of this podcast, which is a little leaven leavens the whole dough. It does, bro. It just isn't happy. It's going to teach, you know, I remember years ago, I drove by, back when churches used to have those marquees, and they'd put little silly sayings on there. I remember one, it was so silly, I was embarrassed by it, but it's true. Mm. And it said, hey, give Satan an inch, and it won't be long before he's a ruler. Okay? And I'm just telling you, man, that's what he does.
Well, the Pharisees, it's not like they were bringing in some lightning rod of mistruth. It was like they were not some of the most knowledgeable men on the planet when it comes to the law and the Torah.
So be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Christian, that's your job. You can be loving and just go, hey, I disagree with you. The death of discourse is what's killing our country. Not just the death of discourse, but the inability to sit in a reasoned and kind way.
And talk.
And let me just tell you something. Kindness is not weakness. Okay? Kindness is good. Niceness is weakness. All right? Niceness is weakness. We're not called to be nice. Thou shalt not be nice is not the 11th commandment. Okay? And kindness and truth are never separated.
Yep.
So I say it all the way. I'm going to say it again. Can I? All right. Is truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth that's not said in a loving way will not be heard. But love without truth is not loving.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot separate the two. That's why Jesus is full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. He's not gracious sometimes and truthful sometimes. He is full of both all the time, because truth without grace is not God's truth, and grace without truth is not God's grace.
Right.
So you got to give, when you are kind, the Bible calls you to be kind, which means it calls you to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had no quarter with error.
Yep.
And he entered into the public arena, and he had conversations with people that were helpful. And people say this to me all the time, Todd, if you just love people like Jesus did, I go, what? Finish that statement. If I just love people like Jesus did, what? They'd nail me to a cross at 33. That's what. And I'm 60. That means I'm 27 years way too congenial. And obviously there's problems with that, because God didn't ordain me to die at 33 like he did him. But while I'm here, I want to give him more of Jesus. My problem is not that I'm not loving people like Jesus. My problem is I don't love people like Jesus enough. That's what I'm after. All right?
If you compare and contrast 1613 Project and 1619 Project, I love that, you know, 1613, we always talk about verse 14 too, and do everything in love. And one of the things that just, you know,
which means you got to define love correctly.
Yeah, you got to define love correctly. But one of the things when we're applying this to our lives is like, be on the alert. Okay, one of some of the things that we're being watchful for, and even just understanding what 1619 Project is and what it's about, it's Satan's age old trick of creating enmity with God or enmity with others, where if you look through world history, there's always, when you want to create great division, you have an oppressor and the oppressees, the oppressed class, and then you give the oppressed class a solution to rise up. It's actually, you know, the precursor to World War II too, is, you know, the Jews were known as controlling the financial environment. You had the collapse of the Weimar Republic and economic devastation. Then you had, what's the solution? The solution is to get rid of the Jews. What's the solution in 1619 Project? Oh, these patriarchs that have oppressed you, it's to rise up against them. It's always creating enmity and division. And so when I look at anything to try to test it, it's like, well, is it, number one, is it bringing glory to God? And number two, is it something we do in love? And then the love part, as you mentioned, Todd, is like, well, how do we define love? And to me, hearkening back to Jefferson earlier in the podcast, it's if you do something that compromises love or truth, it is not loving at all. And you should be go all the way to the dirt with that, but meaning go all the way to death with that, to fear the one that can destroy, not the body, but the one that can destroy the soul.
Yep.
And that's how you honor God, is if you have the opportunity ever to boldly proclaim the truth, I pray that you do it. I pray that you have clarity and courage, and that you have the Lord's courage to do it and to share it. And then be so committed that you'll just never compromise that. And that's what we're called to do as Christians.
That's it. That's why you're working with the 1613 Project. Boom. That right there. Let's end with this. Proverbs 19:22. Okay? What is desirable in a man is his kindness. And then it goes on to say, it is better to be a poor man than a liar. Now that's Hebrew poetry. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Solomon, when he wrote that, join those two things together? Let me say it to you again. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. It's better to be a poor man than a liar.
Is that NAS?
Yeah, that's NAS. What do you have up there?
ESV? Well, I just pulled ESV up and it said, what is desired in a man is steadfast love, which steadfast love is kindness.
Right? Okay, and then what's the second part of the ESV?
And a poor man is better than a liar.
Okay, so why is he conjunct, tie together poor men, okay, and people who would not be what he says in the first part of Proverbs 19:21.
Because, I thought of some. I had another answer, and this one just popped in my head. A lot of times, men who are kind or who steadfastly love people are not invited into circles where you get a lot of wealth.
It's costly.
It's costly.
Let me tell you something. I have been pushed out of a lot of even Christian circles and positions of political power, because I won't just go along with a narrative like, we can't speak the truth about this candidate. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or we can't say this about our side. Mm-hmm. Okay. I will tell you, I've been pushed out of places I love and people I love, because they go, I just don't want to go there. And steadfast love can make you poor. Mm-hmm. Okay. In this world. But that's better than being a liar. which is I'm going to swallow it. I'm going to hold my tongue and not tell you the truth because I love me some prosperity. I love me this country club.
Or some affirmation of men.
I love me this board. I love me this. And I'm just telling you, when people just say to me all the time, well, Todd, you just, you know, I mean, did you have to go there? I'm like, well, did Jesus go there?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets back to this whole thing of, you know, well, gosh, if you just love him like Jesus, if you love him like Jesus, it's going to be costly.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus was poor in terms of how the world celebrated him on Friday, but he was rich in the way that Sunday told the story.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be costly, and you might be poor in what the world offers you, poor in terms of popularity and being celebrated, but don't be a liar because God hates liars. Liars go to hell. If you don't testify me before men, I will not testify you before the Father. Christian, it's time to step up. Okay? Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Act courageously. Be strong and let all you do be done in love. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, his steadfast love. And it's better to be rejected for that than to be a liar. So there's the podcast.
It's good. Love it.
Love it. Me too. Hey, great to be with you.
Yep.
Thank you, JD. Thank you, Jake. Thank you for listening. Podcast at 1613project.com.
Yep.
Shoot us a question. We'll talk about it. We'll see you next time.